Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, we have a guest from Western Japan, Osaka. We have Hitachi Kokumai. And Hitachi is a graduate of Kyoto University and the founder of Mnemonic Security. So welcome and thanks for joining today.
That's fine.
Yeah, we have a good listener base in Japan. We get quite a few people, so we started reaching out. We wanted to have some good guests on from your area, so we welcome today. And give us your background and how you got to where you're at in your life.
I had been involved in the international trade. And I used to represent the British company in Japan for 20 years, and some people from New Zealand. And 20 years ago, I was interested in the applications of two-dimensional code, like QR code. And one day when I was discussing with our patent attorney about the possible application of two-dimensional code for telecommunications. At that time, an idea came to me that we could put a very long puzzle that we can never remember into 2D code. Then we would be able to recover such a long, long password just by scanning it. Then the burden on us would be nearly nil. But I threw away that idea immediately because the paper on which the 2D code was printed can be easily lost, stolen, copied, and abused. And several days later, another idea came to me. What about dividing a very long password and allocate them into multiple 2D codes, say four or five of them, and only the people who can recover them by putting them together in the correct sequence can recover the password. At the time, I thought it might be a good idea, but I threw it away the following day because the entropy, the mathematical strength of such a combination is too low. Bad guys can easily recover it by trying all the combinations. Several days later, another idea came to me. What about if those three, four, five correct 2D codes are embedded in the big matrices, bit matrix of similarly looking 2D codes? And we who can remember the positions or patterns of those correct 2D codes can recover the long password. This way, the entropy or mathematical strength could be largely enhanced. At the time, I thought it would be a good idea. And we started to think about the commercialization. And we actually made a prototype and demonstrated it at some trade shows. And with a catchphrase reading, hide a tree in the forest. But in 6 months' time, we again decided to throw it away. It wouldn't help because our memory enables us to remember one or two complicated patterns or positions of the correct codes embedded in the matrix of similarly looking 2D codes. But if you try to remember third or fourth, our memory would get confused. And all of the memories would be confused, mixed up, and lost.
We'll be with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So, we once abandoned this idea. Then, further another idea came to me. What about putting pictures to those 2D codes? We cannot remember the position of similarly looking 2D codes from other similarly looking 2D codes, but the pictures are different. We can pick up the picture that we remember as against the meaningless pictures. And very fortunately, in those days, one of my friends was a researcher of cognitive psychology. And he suggested that we could think of making use of our autobiographic memory, episodic memory in particular. Those memories have survived many decades. And the memories that have already survived many decades are very unlikely to disappear in the coming few several years. At that time, when we were preparing patent applications, it occurred to me that, oh, we don't need 2D codes altogether. We can go ahead only with the pictures. Pictures, especially associated with our autobiographic memory, episodic memories. And at that time, we thought of using unforgettable memories as well as text. Not instead of text, because we can remember some text pictures. We can remember some text passwords, some people, several, up to several difficult ones. We don't have to throw them away. While continue to using text passwords, we can also use unforgettable images as our secret credentials. And the secret credentials made of our unforgettable images of episodic memory cannot be affected even when we are caught in panic. When we are in an emergency, the text passwords that we had managed to remember may well be gone, maybe easily gone. I know it from my own experience. When I am under stress, text passwords sometimes wouldn't come up, but I never fail to find the pictures, unforgettable pictures. Say, after the pictures of toys and dolls and that my daughters used to play when they were small children, or the pictures that I actually visited and took photo by myself, the landmark that I myself visited, those pictures would jump into my eye. I don't have to try to locate them. They would jump into my eye, and I have no difficulty in finding them. Even when I am under stress, I am in a flutter. So then we decided to start the business of promoting this idea of expanded password system toward the end of year 2001. And very fortunately at that time, we got acquainted with the most reputed cryptographer in Japan, and we got the support of him. And at that time we were given not a small grant and loan from the government agencies. And we were rather successful in Japan from year 2003-04 until 2008. The business stopped to grow around the year 2008 because the surge of the biometrics. We were squeezed by the wave of biometrics people. And we decided to relaunch the business outside Japan several years ago, and we were making steady progress. And we are now recognized first by OASIS, and we are at the stage of draft proposal at the OASIS Open Project. And I was invited to speak at Consumer Identity World, organized by Kupinger Code in 2018. And last year, my proposition was selected as a finalist by Financial Data and Technology Association for their Global Open Finance Summit and Awards in the category of security management. And we were successful in selling some of our products for military operations 7 years ago, amid the headwind of biometrics. But at that time, I was unable to get the feedback from the customer, but presumably because of the nature of the application. I was hesitant to talk about the military use loudly. Mm-hmm. But suddenly, last month, I was told by the main contractor for that transaction, the client, say, the soldiers in the field have been happy. They have been using our product for 7 years satisfactorily, and they intend to keep using it with update of the operating system for many more years. It encouraged me to be more confident. I'm now much more confident than before. And prior to that, our product was once used by 140,000 digital shoppers. Unfortunately, that business stopped in 2008, not because of our problem, but because the service for which our solution was used was discontinued. And we recently have also learned that one company who took up our proposition for their internal use is still using it to their satisfactory, to their satisfaction. So I'm now thinking with my friends in UK, India, and the States about setting up the global headquarters, either in UK or US, probably in UK, because I used to be a frequent traveler to UK, and I've been to London more than 60 times. So UK is naturally a good candidate for me to consider the global operations. Anyway, we are now at the stage of draft a proposal at OASIS, and we are now at the stage of considering setting up the global headquarters in UK.
So the, just a question, the OASIS, that's the standards body, correct?
Yes, yes, that okay. organization.
So we're looking at this being adopted by OASIS?
I want it to be.
Okay, all right. Hold on a minute. We're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back in a minute.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today, talking to Hitoshi Kukumai from Japan. And it's good to have some international guests on, and as we get a lot of people from your side of the world looking at engaging with our show. So we appreciate having you on. And I was interested to hear about the mnemonic security and using images of people's memory as an index in the passwords. And I remember seeing this in a couple movies a couple years ago where they did this, but I haven't seen it too much operation. Where do you see this going mainstream at? Do you have now larger scale applications where this is rolling out or things like that?
I kind of show the demonstration of the machine used by military. But we have some videos uploaded on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And people can freely look at them.
But yeah, it's definitely interesting technology. As far as curious, how do you still use the matrix of passwords underneath the pictures or just the images on top?
There are many possible combinations. We name it expanded password system. We don't call it the image password. Mm-hmm. So that people can use images as well as text. They can use any type of images, unforgettable images or the new images. And our final objective is to make all the memory objects available as secret credentials.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we should be able to help the people lying in bed who cannot move their bodies, authenticate themselves by incorporating all the available technologies, including brain-computer interface.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing in our unforgettable memory, associated with our episodic memory, will give us the best opportunity. If not perfect, it will be better than anything solutions.
So with the things like captures that show you pictures of the street and cars and says how many of these pictures have cars in and they're human recognizable, how much different is what you're talking about from things like that?
In terms of the pictures, we cannot think of any limit. First, our brain has a huge capacity of keeping a memory of images. Not too many on our consciousness, but recognizing pictures is easy, and the library of images in the brain, numerous, and if we don't think we are able to satisfy millions of different password accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that, but in the real life, most of us would need to manage up to several dozens of accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It means that the number of pictures we need to be able to recognize is hundreds. It's nothing compared with the library of our images. And 20 years ago, when I first announced this idea, many people who were critical of our solution told us it's too expensive to store those many pictures in a computer. And it will take too long to transmit those pictures on the internet. And the CPUs are so slow, it will take years to tackle those pictures.
And that's all changed now.
But even 20 years ago, we proved that we can process all of them quickly enough. We started online service in year 2004. Nobody complained about the speed. It was quick enough, even those days. Nowadays, it's again totally different. Our mobile phone is more powerful than the server we relied upon 20 years ago. So using hundreds or thousands of pictures is nothing in view of the current technology platform. And we can consider that our memory capacity of text or characters have a history of several hundred years for most of us. Whereas our memory capacity for visual memory have a history of billions of years, and it's deeply inscribed in our brain. So using pictures is far easier, far quicker than using text in our brain. And at the same time, our technologies now enable us to handle pictures quickly enough. Even if 7 billion people use tens of pictures at the same time, our web sphere can easily handle it.
Yeah. So this is, it's interesting. We're kind of nearing the end of the time we usually run to, but I like your approach and the thought process. And you're right. Now it's become more feasible because images aren't taking up as much. We use images everywhere. I see more and more applications going to captures, and I think this is a great look at a way to revisit it, a good time to revisit it. So thanks for joining today. It was definitely good to hear from you and get a little update on where this technology might be moving towards in the future here.
Okay. What I would like to emphasize that before ending the interview is that what is practicable in the most demanding environment for the most demanding application can be easily practiced in everyday environment for everyday application. Mm-hmm. But the reverse is not true. We cannot say what we can use in everyday life can be used in an extreme environment. But what can be used in extreme environment can be used in everyday environment. Mm-hmm. And our proposition can be valid in an extreme condition, as showcased by the military use. And we know from the limited experiments that elderly people will be the biggest beneficiary of our proposition. As our capability of remembering meaningless sequence of alphabets will decline quickly when we get aged, as I am. I am less young than you, so I'm sure I'm much poorer at handling characters or new meaningless sequence of characters than you and other young people. But I'm pretty sure I have a bigger library of images because I lived longer. And those images are readily available for our digital identity until so long as we have a certain level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. This means our proposition is versatile. that can be used, that can cover all the spectrum between the two extremes. One extreme and the most demanding environment, or in panicky situation. The other extreme is the most, the least demanding environment, the least demanding application. If we cover both, we can cover all the requirements of the digital identity, whoever they are, whether they are soldiers or businessmen, or whether they are elderly or the young people or young children, or whether they are healthy or they are disabled. Nothing can be more versatile than ours as logicals.
Well, definitely. Thank you for coming on today. We appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you very much. I will later send you the links to the videos and some key materials.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.